Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon to you. Midweek Wednesday, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can also find us at stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. Sean Carey here. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to contact us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. stevejones@wkok.com. Our toll free is 1-800-795-9565. Be with you till 5 live here on WKOK. Then we'll have the late day news roundup with Sarah Benick. And then tonight we're back into more Phillies baseball here on WKOK as the four-game series between Philadelphia and the Boston Red Sox will switch to Citizens Bank Park after a couple of extra inning games at Fenway on Monday and last night. I think it's going to be Jeremy Hellickson tonight for the Phillies. The record of 5-4 marked the 15th career start for Hellickson, formerly of the Tampa Bay Rays. And on the mound will be Brian Johnson for the Boston Red Sox. Rookie Brian Johnson with a record of 2-0. He's got an ERA of 3.44. Hellickson is an ERA of 4.50 going into tonight's matchup. A lot of the NFL teams are currently going through their mandatory mini-camps before they take a month off, before training camps get going at the end of July. So we'll have some Steelers talk coming up with Neil Coulong, NFL writer from USA Today, and also one of the writers for the Steelers Wire. USA Today Sports has different pages for all 32 NFL teams, like the Steelers Wire, the Ravens Wire. So Neil does a lot of writing for the Steelers Wire. So we'll find out what's going on with Steelers mandatory minicamp going on. And we did catch word that the Steelers' first-round draft pick, T.J. Watt, has signed his four-year contract with Pittsburgh. So now all of the draft picks are signed for the Steelers. So we'll have Neil coming up a little later on. Now, we were hoping to have Jerry Dulac on from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette to talk about U.S. Open Golf. We're still trying to make a connection with Jerry to have him come on the show. Hopefully today, maybe a golf championship recap from Jerry next week. But either way, of course, Jerry's been a beat writer, too, for the Pittsburgh Steelers for decades for the Post-Gazette. So we can get different topics from Jerry for sure. And we hear Jerry on the Pittsburgh Steelers radio network on the pregame show. And, of course, once again, this NFL season, you'll be able to hear the Pittsburgh Steelers over on 100.9 The Valley. Now, speaking of Pittsburgh, not too many went to work today. Estimated 650,000 people crammed into downtown Pittsburgh and to Point State Park, right by the confluence for the huge parade today. And of course, Sidney Crosby being humble and gracious and just saying, hey, we cannot do this without the fans. So Sid the Kid and the team cruising through Pittsburgh with Lord Stanley's Cup. So now it'll be interesting as to who gets the cup first. I would think probably Mario would get it first. maybe
650,000.
That's insane.
People
cruising down the boulevard of the Allies, heading down to Point State Park
in a city of that within the confines of the city limits has 303,000 people. Last year, they had 400,000 for the parade.
Yeah, quite a few. We're not going to miss this one.
Well, the weather is perfect. It's not overly hot out. It's not bad. I think that helps along the way. But 650,000 people estimated to see the Pens and the Stanley Cup.
The team was nice enough to take the cup over to PNC Park for the Pirates last night. Sidney Crosby throwing the first pitch. Some thought it was a pretty good pitch getting to home plate. Some called it a strike.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it was a thrill for the Pirate fans to see a championship trophy of any kind in the building. So that's fabulous.
Well, at least they finally got a good. When was the last time both Garrett Cole and Andrew McCutchen had a great night on the same night? I couldn't even tell you. It's probably been a while.
Yeah, they did. They've taken that 1-2 against Colorado. Colorado's had a great year. Colorado has had a great year. So, and they've been able to win the last two. Now the Phillies have had some tough luck with the Red Sox the last two nights. Very tough luck. I mean, to lose two extra inning games at Fenway. Now tonight they've got, I think Hellickson goes tonight, right? And it's going to be Brian Johnson for the Red Sox.
You got it,
Brian. I've done two of Brian Johnson's minor league games. One of them was last August. Remember, we did the show and I had Tim Neverett on the show.
Yes.
Brian Johnson pitched that night for Lowell against State College in a rehab assignment.
That's right. You were up at Lowell for a couple days. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Johnson is a guy who struggled for a period of time after a carjacking down at Fort Myers. And it's finally settled down. He's not a bad left-handed pitcher. He's not bad at all. Spikes won that game over Lowell last year, but not because of him. They won it late on a home run by Vince Jackson. It's one of those games when it was over with, I looked around and said, this team's got it. I'm talking about the Spikes. You know, the game was over with. I thought, you know what? You win a game like that, low scoring, hits at a premium, you get a key hit in the eighth inning, you got something cooking here. That was the game that told me that. But, so he'll go tonight against the Phillies. Former first-round pick of the Red Sox out of the University of Florida. And Hellickson, I think there are a lot of contenders that would love to have Hellickson. I think there are a lot of contenders that would love to have him. The Phillies have to make a decision. What do you do with him? But the game's at home tonight. Phillies have only won 9 games on the road, Sean. That's it. They've won 9 games on the road. I mean, it's June 14th. It's June 14th. They've won 9 games on the road. Hard.
The over-under is starting to, for the win column, it just kind of seems like it's just dropping and dropping. Are they even going to double nickels, maybe? 55, 60?
Sean, here's the issue I've got with the Phillies. Hey, here's the issue. And it's quite simple. It goes with, don't you need to show signs from time to time that you're headed in the right direction? Don't you need to show signs from time to time? Like, okay, I can see it. My problem with the Phillies to this point is this. Is there's certain guys. I mean, I like Altair. I like Franco. I like Hernandez. I like Galvis. Herrera, obviously. But there's something about this team that something's missing, where you would feel like at some point you become that pain in the neck that nobody really wants to play, even though they still beat you. Now, they've been a pain in the neck to the Red Sox the last two nights, and the Red Sox have won. So maybe that's the sign of something, because I thought their bullpen was really good last night. Really good. I mean, their bullpen pitched better than the Red Sox bullpen did last night. But at some point, they've got to become, even if they're not winning, that pain in the neck you don't want to play. And the Phillies have not been that pain in the neck. You know, in fact, they can't. Right now, every franchise can't wait for you to show up. Hey, okay? Not good. Hey, okay, that's not good. I think the starting pitching's okay. But I expected that they would be a 75-win team this year. They're not going to get there. Unless something dramatic happens. And it's not Pete Mackanin's fault. It is not Pete Mackanin's fault. There is no way they should make a move with him.
Yeah, last week when we had Richard Justice on from MLB.com, he made a great point. Pete's in the right spot. They have the right manager, the right spot, because if there could have been maybe another high-profile manager in place, maybe things would go in a different direction. They would the expectations would be a little higher than they should be for this, higher expectations should be a little further down the road, and Pete's got the right perspective for it.
Right. No, and I think that's great. But again, the problem I have is that you feel like every couple of weeks you should see the sign of something. And I don't see it. And remember, I asked John Kruk that question. By the 4th of July, what signs do you want to see? And he says, look, I'd like to see him win once in a while. Okay, now that's not the answer that you want. That's not the answer you're looking for. You're looking for, you want them to become that pain in the neck nobody wants to play. Right now, they aren't it. And it's not as if they have not done a great job of making deals. I think what they've done deal-wise to replenish the farm system has been great. I also do agree with not rushing certain prospects to the majors, because it does come into that same category we've talked about many times. You want to play somebody a game too late, not a game too early. There's a fine line on that. And it also hasn't helped that a couple of guys that maybe you'd like to move and get the fan base excited about, they haven't performed. A couple of them haven't performed great in the minors this year. That hasn't helped. That has not helped. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
SMC is where you want to be this summer.
It's the Summer Spectacular Sale.
Sunbury Motors Ford is drastically reducing every new Ford in stock during the SMC Summer Spectacular Sale.
SMC is where you want to be, because every new Ford will be clearly marked with savings up to $12,700.
Choose from over 20 new 2017 Ford Focuses, and they're slashed to as low as $15,930. Sunbury Motors is Central Pennsylvania's Ford truck giant. Pick from four city blocks of new Ford trucks. 2017 Ford F-150s priced from only $24,419. There's 45 of the red-hot selling 2017 Ford Escapes, and they're priced at just $19,380.
SMC is where you want to be,
because the prices are so low, they're practically giving vehicles away.
Wait, they are.
Get a 1915 SMC limited edition die-cast Model T collectible just for test driving a Ford while supplies last. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving Central PA since 1915.
Here's one of the problems you look at. The Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs are really good. I mean, they're playing 667 ball right now. But there's certain players you target in there. All right, tell me, how is J.P. Crawford doing? But you know how J.P. Crawford's doing? The guy that everybody's like, oh, J.P. Crawford, got to see him, got to see him. He's hitting 194. He's hitting 194 right now. I mean, there's certain people. I mean, Brock Stassi, who I saw at Williamsport, only played a limited amount of games. He's 7 for 20. Reese Hoskins, whom I like very much, is hitting 295. Nick Williams is hitting 280. But Roman Quinn's hitting 274. Now, Roman Quinn, right now, 274, should be a guy that's hitting around 300 at this level, and he's 10 of 14 in stolen bases. All right? If he's hitting 300, he's got 20 stolen bases. All right? I mean, it's just that's part of the problem that they have here. Now you look at their pitching. Hey, right? Jake Thompson. Well, Jake Thompson's a big deal for them in terms of what they want to do in their organization. Guess what? Jake Thompson is 2-6 with a 6.93 ERA. Well, let's go inside the numbers with him, though. He's gone 49 and a third innings. He's given up 66 hits. You can't do that. Mark Appel. He's going to pitch tonight against Buffalo. 5.65 ERA in 12 starts. He's given 57 and a third innings, right? He's given up 60 hits. But here's the real bugaboo with him. Appel has 37 strikeouts and 36 walks. That doesn't cut it. You cannot move him up. You can't bring him to the majors with numbers like that. You can't. Those are two high-profile guys who, between the two of them, have combined for an ERA over 6. The two of them have combined to give up 126 hits in 107 innings pitched. And your prime guy at shortstop, Crawford's hitting 194. Dylan Cousins has been okay at 252. I mean, a lot of these guys I saw at Williamsport. Quinn needs to be hitting 25 points higher. It's not like, Ty Kelly's already been brought up. I mean, they've already brought him up. Howie Kendrick did a rehab down there. Ben Lively has already been brought up. He pitched against the Red Sox last night. He was good. 9 starts, 6-1, 2.40, 56 and a third, 46 hits. That's what you're looking for. 45 strikeouts, 7 walks. You're talking about a 6-1 strikeout to walk ratio. That's what you're looking for. That's why Ben Lively's with the Phillies right now, and why Jake Thompson and Mark Appel are still languishing at Lehigh Valley. Why is Galvis the shortstop and not Crawford? Crawford's hitting 194 down at Lehigh Valley. You can't move him up until he shows some level of consistency. Can't do it. And the odd thing is, as a team, they're doing great. I mean, I'm talking Lehigh Valley's playing 667 baseball. They've been tremendous. But it's not just what you do as a team. You're also trying to look at individually, what are they doing? Because the individual is going to be eventually brought up. You lose Roman. I mean, Roman Quinn now is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks because of that bad elbow injury. I mean, that's what's kept him back. And Roman Quinn, that's been his biggest problem. Roman Quinn's biggest problem has been injuries over time. He can't keep himself healthy. And now he's got a sprained ulnar collateral ligament. And he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. And that's the bad luck. Oh, boy. All right, more coming up next half hour. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on what is really a gorgeous Thursday. If there's any update on what is going on with the congressional shooting in Washington, obviously we'll get to it quickly. We have read that Congressman Steve Scalise is in currently listed as critical condition, but they'll get more on that at the top of the hour. So we will continue on with what we're doing.
Actually, I just read a second ago that they are going to play that baseball game tomorrow.
Yes, they will play it. It'll be at Nationals Park. They raise about $650,000 to $700,000 for children and youth charities in Washington. That's the purpose behind playing the game. And they will play the game tomorrow night at Nationals Park. All right, let's get to this day in sports history. Always intriguing, always informative. Then Neil Coulong will come along and join us in the 4 o'clock half hour. Get a chance to talk about Steelers minicamp and the incredible lack of leverage that Alejandro Villanueva has. I think I'll hold out. Why? That really isn't a great threat to us. Why? All right. This day in sports history, 1963, Duke Snider, who played all those great years with the Dodgers, was in the expansion draft and went to the Mets. And he hit his 400th career home run as a member of the Mets on this date. 1964, the Cardinals traded Ernest Broglio to the Chicago Cubs. In return, the Cardinals got Lou Brock. Okay. 1969, Reggie Jackson hit 2 home runs, drove in 10 runs. The A's beat the Red Sox 21-17. 1987, the Lakers won the NBA title, beating the Celtics. 1992, Bulls won the championship, beating the Trailblazers. Or should I say Michael Jordan did. He did it all by himself, based on history. 1994, the New York Rangers ended a 54-year drought and won the Stanley Cup, beating the Vancouver Canucks. Jeff Bagwell tied a major league record this day in 1996 when he hit 4 doubles in a game. The Astros beat the Giants 9-1. Ellis Burks hit the first ever inside the park home run Coors Field, 1996. 1995, the Bulls won their third straight NBA championship. Michael Jordan won. He's the only person on that team, right? Let's see. What else on this date? Jim Thome of the Phillies became the 37th player to reach the 400 career home run mark this date, 2004. 10th NBA title on this date for Phil Jackson of the Lakers in 2009. That is this day in sports history. See my point, Sean, about the minors? I mean, Lehigh Valley is a great record. Certain prospects have been brought up along the way, like Ben Lively, for example. And Ben Lively pitched well against the Red Sox. Pitched very well. I was impressed.
I mean, last year, the Reading Fightins had a terrific run, too. So, I mean, the pipeline is rich, and it just the key word's patience. You just wonder, if patience is going to continue to get thinner and thinner as we go through the season. It's going to be Phillies fans are going to be tested, that's for sure. But they knew this was coming. I mean, they knew this was coming, but just how long the rebuilding project was going to take was going to be the specific question that needed to be asked and be answered.
Right. Well, and that's what, we all know this is going to take time. We know that. But at some point, some of the young prospects need to show signs of life.
That's what we're looking for. Penn State football student season ticket sale begins tomorrow. How about that?
So they start with the seniors and then work their way down, correct?
Yes.
It seems like there's always a contest every year as to, you know, which class, how fast can we sell out our tickets? It's like a badge of honor.
Seniors go to, go. Let's see now. It's wait a minute. How's this work now? Wait a minute. It says here. No, it begins Monday. So seniors and graduate students go Monday. Juniors go Tuesday, sophomores go Wednesday, and then freshmen go Thursday. Usually the freshmen go really fast. And let's face it, I think a lot of people right now are in that mode of, man, I think they got something good here. Yeah. And that creates even more excitement.
Oh, especially for sure. I mean, they come off with the, you know, starting with that amazing evening, you know, last October at Beaver Stadium, the primetime game with Ohio State. I mean, they just rode the wave there for the rest of the year. And you just kind of wonder, oh, yeah, well, you can't really automatically stamp for 2017. Oh, yeah, they're going to win another 10 games. I mean, there's going to be some ebbs and flows and dips throughout the season, but it is sure going to be exciting to see how, you know, Saquon Barkley is going to do, and another season with Trace, you know, under center at the controls. I mean, and this is one year we're not going to have to worry about any depth on the offensive line, too.
Yeah. Well, you go in with a different feel for all of it compared to the last few years where you went in hoping something good was going to, you know, can they hang in there? Can they maybe steal a couple games? Now you're going in as the favorite in most games. And you should be. They've earned that. They played great. They've got a lot of confidence now. You're talking about offensive and defensive systems here that don't change because the coordinators are the same. Remember, that was part of it last year, too. I know Brent Pry's been here, but, you know, he still has to institute his system as to what he wants. And, of course, Joe Moorhead had to do what he wanted with the offense. Well, everybody has to learn it, get a feel for it, where it becomes second nature to them. And once they did, it really, really worked out well.
I really loved the bit of information that you shared last month before the holiday weekend kicked in when first summer session started. And I'll bring it up again. I mean, of course, the big number was 85, you know, with the scholarships with during that dark period earlier in the decade. And just that, and I was talking to people over the last few weeks I'd run into at the grocery store and whatnot, and I shared that bit of information with them too about the number of players that have been on campus the first summer session, and you told me the number was 80, correct?
84.
And that's just amazing. It just shows the bond and the commitment the team has working on their credits and their education and getting all their workouts in so they're ready to go full bore when the coach blows that whistle in early August.
Right, and it shows the commitment. There's not a laissez-faire feel about what's going on because, you know, every team is an entity unto itself. When you can convince your returning players that you are now a separate entity, you are the 2017 Penn State football team and not 2016 any longer, and they get that part, then that, you know, then you have won a major battle, as far as I'm concerned, as a coach. That makes a big difference. That makes a big difference when you can do that. We've seen Cale Sanderson has been able to do that over the years. Russ Rose has done that. Erica Walsh has done that. Where they've been able to convince each team that you are a new team, an entity unto yourself. Okay? What you did last year there's not a bank. Okay? You can't go to the bank and withdraw a couple of touchdowns from last year. You can't go to the bank and get a couple of takedowns. Can't do it. And because of who you are now, you will get everyone's best shot. You'll get everybody's best shot. Every time through. Pretty simple. And that's why you go out and you work as hard as you do to get to this point. You love the depth that they're building, but you're going to get guys hurt along the way. And in some ways, depth still hurt them a bit in the Rose Bowl. We know Blacknell was out, but Manny Bowen was out. Well, now you're like, okay, Manny Bowen's out, but, you know, you still got Koa Farmer, you still got Brandon Bell, and you got Jason Kabinda. What happened during the game? Bell got hurt. Now, you not only have Bell, you don't have Bowen. So that's where, you know, the depth thing comes into play. And that's been, I think that's been really important along the way, that they've built depth. And you have to understand during the course of the year, things will happen. Things will happen during the course of a season. As we know, you guys follow sports all the time. You know darn well things happen. I mean, do you think that they sat there in Pittsburgh and said to themselves back in January, we'll be without Chris Letang? Nope. Suddenly they find out they're without Chris Letang. You had to adjust. So.
And it's just crazy what we've been hearing since Sunday night. The myriad of injuries that the Pens players were dealing with throughout the playoffs. I mean, it turns out Nick Bonino had a complete full broken leg. I mean, how he was able to finish that game the rest of the night. I have absolutely no clue. I mean, their mindset is completely different from mine for sure.
And no clue is the motto of the show. We'll come back with what? We can fool them another day. That'd be good. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today, as only we can do. Sean is always excited to have. Well, we talked a lot about the Phillies early on, and about the farm system, because I mean, in the end, that's what this whole thing's going to come down to for them, is what is the farm system going to be able to do. They've done a great job of, quote, rebuilding it and getting it back to last year. I mean, getting it back to where it needs to be. I mean, they're one of the top five farm systems in the whole thing right now. There's just no getting around it. But at one point, does it begin to pay dividends? Right now, it's not paying dividends, and it's not. What's interesting is it's not paying tremendous dividends at the Lehigh Valley level. The team at Lehigh Valley is winning, but don't look at the record. You got to look at the individuals. Crawford's hitting 194. Quinn's out 4 to 6 weeks again with an ulnar strain. Appel and Thompson aren't pitching well. I don't care what their records are. Their ERAs, their hits per innings pitch are mediocre at best. You got to start seeing some signs of something. And that's what I think, if you're a Phillies fan, I mean, then in the major league level, you'd like your team to become that pain in the neck nobody wants to play, where you steal a series here or there. You make the other team just work its guts out, and they say, you know what, boy, I'm glad this is our last trip into Philadelphia. Now, they're better in Philly than they are on the road. They're 12-14 at home, but they've only won 9 games on the road this year. The last two nights against the Red Sox, they were that pain in the neck at Fenway, but they lost both games in extra innings. But they were that pain in the neck the last couple of nights. And that's what you're looking for. And as I pointed out earlier, we had John Kruk on the show. I said, are there certain signs you're looking for between now and, say, the 4th of July to set up the second half of the season? He goes, no. I said, I just want him to somehow find a win. Well, that is a very, to his credit, extremely honest and candid answer. It also tells you what the state of what they're seeing is. They're not seeing signs. I mean, they're not seeing signs. That's not good. That's not good. Now, we're going to talk football in the next half hour with Neil Coulong. Le'Veon Bell not in the Steelers minicamp, but he can't be in the Steelers minicamp. Not allowed to be. He has not signed his tender. Well, if you haven't signed your tender, you can't participate. Alejandro Villanueva. I might hold out. Then, of course, he shows up. That's, of course, what he's probably told by somebody. Exactly what is your leverage here? Oh, none? Yeah, that's what I thought. We also talked about Penn State football. As they continue their workouts, I'll be over there tomorrow, get kind of an update on what's going on. That'll be interesting, get an update on where they are. So I'm going to go over to Lash tomorrow for that. And we'll pass along what we can do tomorrow. It's a good time to do it, right in the middle of June. You know, tomorrow's, what, the 15th? And then Live for Life Day is July 15th. So that's where we are on all of that stuff.
Just moving right along.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we are moving right along. I mean, for Penn State football, what do you got? Let's say a 14th. 16, 31 is 47, plus 31 is, 78, plus 2. So 79 days to go for the first game of the season. Wow. Yeah, I know the spikes start in 5 days.
Speaking of baseball, found a couple of notes with the Major League Baseball draft. Continuing, Colton Hawk out of Stanford. He has ties to Bloomsburg. He was drafted yesterday in the 4th round by the Miami Marlins. And earlier today, how about this? Well, there's another Cousins in Washington. Kirk Cousins' cousin, Jake Cousins, was drafted by the Washington Nationals.
You know, kid out of State High. Was it William & Mary? Got drafted by the Twins, I think. 3rd round. Now, these guys will start to sign. They have changed the rules over the years on signing. It used to be you had to be signed by August 15th. Well, now you have to be signed by the All-Star break, the Major League Baseball All-Star break. And that has changed the dynamics of the league. I've seen better baseball in the last 3 years since they changed this rule. Because all the draft choices are getting into the league quicker. Now, I want everyone to remember a general rule for those who either want to go to State College or go to Williamsport. There's a general rule about the draft. If you are a high school player that gets drafted and you sign to go play minor league baseball, they will send you either to Florida or Arizona, depending on where your affiliate happens to be in the minor leagues. If you are a college player that is drafted, then your destination would be State College or Williamsport. It's a pretty simple rule of thumb when you look at the Major League Baseball draft. We're here to help. Now you're all questioning where we've helped.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.